Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's 99.9 KISW on the phone right now. Eric Olson, guitarist and vocalist of a band you may know called Lord Dying. They're going to be playing the Substation in Seattle with Year of the Cobra this Wednesday, May 8th. Your new album, Mysterium Tremendum, is out now on E1 Records. First off, I want to say congratulations on releasing the new record.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's your first release since 2015. I was kind of curious, what have you guys been up to in the last 4 years?
Well, we spent so we put out Poisoned Altars in 2015,
yeah,
and we toured really heavily until about 2017. We toured pretty much nonstop.
Nice.
And then we took about a year and a half to write the new record, and that's mostly all we did between 2017 and about mid 2018. Was just worked on this new record, and then we recorded it last August, and it finally came out last week.
So if you weren't paying very close attention to the band, you might think like, oh, they haven't put out a record for a while. They might be just like taking it easy. No, it doesn't sound like you guys took it easy at all.
Not really, no.
Just touring and then writing, and that's awesome, man. It's a great release, and it's your first record on E1. Your last couple records were out on Relapse. What made you guys want to make the jump, and are you stoked to work with a new team?
Yeah, E1's been great, man. They've done everything that we've asked of them so far, which is great. We got to do this release. We got to do a double LP, gatefold. They were down with all our ideas for the art and everything, which is great.
Yeah.
The Switch Relapse is cool too, man. It was great putting out records on there. We don't have anything bad to say about Relapse or anything. They're awesome. But this was like, I guess there was kind of some internal things going on, and it was time for a change. So we're really happy. E1 was interested, and we knew that they were. We heard they were great to work with because some of our friends are on there, like mm-hmm. Crowbar and Black Fast, to put out records with E1, and just had great things to say. So we're like, all right, well, let's give that a shot.
from the label side of things, from like a few of the bands that we've talked to in the past, I remember Darkest Hour put out a couple records on them. It sounded like that they were like a label for people that didn't necessarily want labels tampering like with their ideas. Like the label would just back whatever, and they would sign bands that they believed in.
Yeah, I totally see that, man. Yeah, it's great. They let us have total creative control, and they've been able to they've been down to fund any of our crazy ideas. So it's been awesome, man. No complaints for sure.
Now it's more just like, well, where can we go now? If they're down with our crazy ideas, let's see how weird we can get, right?
For sure.
Right on, man. Well, so what kind of approach do you guys go in with? You said it took a little while to record the album. Obviously, you wanted it to be as awesome as it's turned out. What kind of approach do you guys have? Is it one main songwriter? Is it a collaborative thing? How does that look?
Yeah, the other guitar player, Chris, is me and him have been playing music for well over about 20 years now, I'd say.
Oh, wow, yeah.
We did take a slightly different approach. So we're the core songwriters mm-hmm. in the band. We both live in Portland, and the bass player and drummer live in LA. So we write everything here, and we demo it. So we'll record everything. We did a little bit of a different approach this time. Before, we kind of like wrote everything in a practice space and uh-huh. did it that way. This way, we were much more meticulous about every riff and all of the melodies and everything. And so we'd have essentially a finished product to send to our other guys in LA, and they would come up with their parts, and then we all met right before the recording and spent about a week rehearsing, and
yeah.
then nailed it in the studio. So it was a lot of fun.
Speaking of nailing it in the studio, like, where'd you guys record the album? And, like, I guess just kind of describe to the listeners here, like, your experience with it.
Yeah, it's great, man. Mike Plotnikoff was the engineer. He's worked on all sorts of stuff from, like, Santana to Yes.
Wow.
he did, like, Fear Factory and In Flames. Yeah, and the studio is West Valley Studios, and, well, it's in Los Angeles, Calabasas, actually.
Okay, out there with Kanye West and all them, yeah, hanging out.
yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it's by far the nicest studio we've ever been in. Like, you can imagine, basically any tone you want to get, they're going to have, like, that guitar head. Like,
wow.
Something I've only, like, you know, heard of, really. Like, that was really impressive, because I didn't know exactly what to expect as far as that went, but they definitely... they go the extra mile to get whatever tones you want, and it's awesome, man. They were great.
Coming from, like, kind of, I don't know, coming from, like, the doom and, like really gnarly underground metal scene, and growing to the point where you're afforded the ability to go and record at a high-end place like that, I bet that was a dream come true.
That was really cool, and we wanted to have something, we wanted to have a slightly different recording this time, like, It was really great with the first two records. We worked with Joel Grind and Sanford Parker. Both those guys are incredible.
Yeah.
They both have their own strengths, you know, and both of them particularly are really good at making a record sound huge and raw at the same time, which we wanted that too, but we also wanted someone that is really good at bringing all the cleans and everything else up, so it's just a huge recording, which Mike Plotnikoff definitely capable of, so that was great.
Definitely, man. And I noticed a lot more, like, groove there, some melody more so on this record. What came out different about this album? I mean, it's kind of probably hard for you to look at, but at the same time, I bet you can name a couple things. What came out different about this album compared to the rest of the Lord Dying discography?
Yeah, I mean, this was the first time we've done a concept record, and we wanted to, the album is meant to be listened to in its entirety.
Okay.
And we took each song part by part, and we didn't want any particular genre to define it. Like, before, we just, you know, really wanted to write, like, heavy, pummeling sludge metal, you know?
Sure.
It was great for our first two records, but this one we wanted to, like, kind of take the listener on a journey and do... just kind of, that's really like the kind of record we've always wanted to make, and this is the first time we got the chance to do it, and it was a lot of fun making and recording, but yeah, so that's why there would be there's different things, like it depended on the concept and also where the song was going writing wise, whether we would decide to do like clean vocals this time or some like even synthesizer, piano, acoustic guitars. We did a lot more this time than we've ever done before. Lots of vocal melodies too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, without giving any spoilers to the listeners that we haven't delved 100% into the album, what's a little bit of a teaser as what the concept is?
Yeah. Well, the title is Mysterium Tremendum, which is Latin for terrible mystery.
Okay.
Which is... it's really kind of about the encompassing of all things, both life and death, the journey before and after, which is sort of what this is, what the record's really about. It also kind of focuses pretty heavily on death.
Yeah.
To be honest, we were both, Chris and I both like went through a lot of like personal stuff in our lives while we were writing this, and that kind of changed the course of the writing, I think, a little bit, but we still... It's still hopeful. I wouldn't say that it's a bummer. at least I hope people don't get that out of it.
Okay, yeah.
It's intended to be kind of like about the mystery of what is life or death or anything, you know?
Definitely, man. So keep those words in mind when you go into listening to the record. And like he's saying here, like Eric's saying here, go in and listen to the whole record. So you guys are heading out on tour for a month with Year of the Cobra from Seattle. What are some of your favorite places to play on tour? Like any places that may have kind of surprised you, like a cool little scene within a town that you may not have expected?
To be honest, we've done a lot of U.S. tours and Canadian tours. This is great though, because we haven't done it in a couple of years, so I'm really excited just to get back out there. We always love playing Seattle,
yeah,
and it has been a minute, so we're really excited to come back for Seattle for sure. I don't know. I mean, just like the usual stuff, I guess. Like, it's always fun to play Austin too, New Orleans, New York. I'm excited to do Calgary and Edmonton again as well. Been a minute for those, so it's gonna be rad. Seattle, though, man. Yeah, it's like our home away from home, so it's gonna be awesome.
Well, hey, man, you're a Northwest band too, so we're kind of we're up here in the middle of nowhere. Actually, we're like the furthest way away from civilization. Is not a lot of bands tour here. I mean, there are a lot, but some tours are just like full West Coast tour, and it's like all California dates.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, wait a second. All right, man. Well, I have a couple questions before I let you go about I guess where your influence comes from. If you could think back, like, what was the first album you actually purchased on your own, whether it be CD or vinyl or tape? The first one you actually used your own money as a kid and bought on your own?
Yeah, I guess. I don't remember exactly. It was probably, it was either Appetite for Destruction or maybe Rust in Peace too. Might have been that.
Classic. That is a hands down.
Those great records.
It's like the pinnacle of thrash, man. Totally.
Hell yeah.
All right, man. Well, what band made you decide you wanted to pick up an instrument and actually just start being a metal musician?
I don't know. I guess, like, that's kind of hard to answer, I guess. Like, me and Chris both, like, started, pretty young, around 11, 12 years old.
Yeah, you were saying you played 20 years together.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, over that, I think. I guess, our first band was really, like, a punk band more than anything. It was, we tried to get, I remember we sent, like, a demo tape to TKO Records, and they were, like, They sent us a letter back, and we're like, sorry, we're not interested in putting this out at the time. Maybe someone else would be, but they said that we sounded like a mixture between Black Flag and Nirvana, which now I'm like, yeah, that's pretty awesome, man.
Right?
I guess, Nirvana was definitely an influence, too, you know? I think on both of us, like, just seemed like regular dudes playing music, you know?
Fair
maybe
enough.
Maybe we could do that, you know?
Absolutely, man. They just picked up guitars and made awesome songs out of simple ideas, but it was just it was perfect. So,
for sure.
All right, man. Well, aside from playing music, like, what do you do on your downtime? What are some of your hobbies or interests? Like, what do you personally nerd out about?
I do a lot of traveling, actually.
Cool.
I'm trying to visit every country. I've been to 101 countries so far. So
holy crap!
That's a goal of mine. Yeah.
What are a few of your favorites, like, if you don't mind me asking, just like two or three of the places that, you know, we need to check out if we're having some ideas of getting out of here?
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's lots of different regions. If you wanted to really go somewhere like off the beaten path, Turkmenistan is pretty cool.
Wow.
You can get the visa process is kind of complicated, but it's not impossible. You can definitely get a visa, and there's some interesting things to see there. There's
Turkmenistan?
Turkmenistan, yeah.
Cool.
You fly into the capital, Ashgabat, and you can do like a tour around the country. Usually like a local tour company would set it up. They can take you to a place they call the Gates of Hell. It's like,
wow.
It's a gas crater that during Soviet times, some scientists kind of stumbled upon it, and then they lit it on fire in hopes to burn the methane out, but it's been burning ever since. And that's like in the 70s, so it's a huge crater that's on fire.
And it's the Gates of Hell. Wow, that would be an awesome photo for like your next music video or something.
Totally, yeah, I'd love to do that there.
Oh, man, that's awesome, dude. All right, well, I got one more random question for you, then we'll just go back into kind of the normal band stuff. But I want to know, if you guys were to ask to make, like, a Lord Dying beer, I know a lot of bands do these beers these days. If you were to make a Lord Dying beer, what kind of beer would you want it to be?
I don't know. I'm probably the wrong guy to ask about that. Chris would be better. But I don't know, maybe like probably a lager.
Fair enough.
Just something pretty simple.
Nice,
yeah.
Man. Well, hopefully, let's hook up that Lord Dying beer, all right?
Hell yeah, man. Right on.
Okay, so you guys are kicking off the tour kickoff here in Seattle at the Substation this Wednesday, May 8th, with You're the Cobra. So speaking of Seattle, what are a few of your favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Oh, man, a lot. A big influence. I liked a lot of bands from Olympia in the early 90s. I loved Unwound.
Yeah.
Tarp. Thrones. Who nice. Joe lives in Portland now, but
yeah, still going strong too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Melvins, of course, you know.
Yep.
Nirvana.
Yep.
I mean, Soundgarden's great, and the list goes on, man. And there's always been a great music scene in the Northwest.
Too many to list. So. Hey, you got some Portland bands, the Poison Idea. Some great stuff from
Absolutely.
Portland too.
Yeah, Poison Idea for sure, man. Dead Moon.
Yes. You know, R.I.P.
Red Fang.
Yep. Yes, Red Fang,
yeah.
Your contemporaries.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Well, what are some of your goals for 2019 with the band that you guys, now that you guys have Mysterium Tremendum out, what are some of your goals for 2019?
A lot of touring. So we have this headline tour. There will be more U.S. and Canada this year, probably several times. Definitely going to be back in Europe again in the fall, too. All the while in between, we're working on the next record, so hopefully that'll be ready to record by the end of the album cycle so that there's not a period of time where people are wondering what the hell we were doing.
Right on, man. Well, that's some good goals. You guys are going to be playing a lot, and I'm sure you will have many opportunities to see you here in Seattle, but the first one for 2019 is, again, this Wednesday at the Substation. We're going to be giving away some tickets shortly to the show, and like he said, caller number 4, but we're not doing that right now. We're going to play a song from you guys, but before that, your final words for the Northwest audience, something you want to say before you see us on Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't know. We're real psyched to go back up there. We're really excited, too, to be touring with You're the Cobra. They
yes.
rule. Seattle's own. So, yeah, we're really excited about it. We can't wait to hit the road, man. I think they're playing Portland tonight, actually. Probably go to the Crystal Ballroom.
Hey, sounds like a good idea, man. Right on. All right. Eric, man, thank you very much, dude. Have a good night.
Thanks, man. You too. Appreciate it.
See you Wednesday, brother.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.